the amount of speaking that she's done on diversity in all the places that she's spoken at. So with that being said, Susie Ishmael is the author of several books and specializes in presenting a range of communication lectures and diversity workshops at major corporations, conferences, schools, and universities such as Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and more. She's currently a visiting professor at DeVry University and the founder and head communication counselor at Cornerstone. She provides marriage and family seminars and counseling nationally and internationally. Susie has appeared on numerous media outlets such as Fox News, BBC, PTV, ART, and more. She resides right here in Princeton with her husband and three children.
So much for that introduction. It's always a pleasure to be at SCBWI, and I'm excited today to share with you my journey and my interest in this field of diversity and writing. So my story starts quite some time ago, before I was born actually, and I promise I won't bore you. I won't tell you my entire autobiography. We can talk about that later, but my parents immigrated to this country from Egypt about 45 years ago. And when they came to this country, they knew no one. They didn't know the language, they didn't know the people, but they left their home in the hopes of finding something different, something better, something that they could look up to, that they could raise their children in. And so they found America, they found New Jersey. When my parents first moved here, you know, they had difficult names, names that were difficult to pronounce. My mother's name is Khairiya. And for the longest time, she couldn't understand why when she was asked, what is your name? And she answered, Khairiya, people would say, God bless you. So over the years, as my parents acclimated to society here and became more and more comfortable, my mother dismembered her name, amputated it, and limited it to just the letter. And she became known as Kay. And this amputation of her name represents a great deal of their struggle in trying to understand, what does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to assimilate? What does it mean to acculturate? How do we find our way in this world without losing who we are, without chopping up our names into bits and pieces just to get along? So a few years into their life here in America, they found themselves expecting their first child. Now my parents went through a great dilemma. What shall we name this child? So my oldest sister was born, and they still were really racking their brains. What name can we give this child that will not give her grief throughout her life? So there was one woman who had become very close to my mom. She was kind to her. She tried to teach her English, you know, get her to know the area. And she was a hairdresser, and her name was Nancy. So lo and behold, my sister was named Nancy after the hairdresser. And so a year and a half later, I made my debut into the world. And again, my parents struggled. What should we name her? What should we name her? And so luckily, Nancy the hairdresser had bought my sister Nancy a doll. The doll's name was Susie Cutie. And so in the hospital on that day, as my father began to fill out the birth certificate, of course, being used to the Arabic language, reading from right to left rather than left to right, he began to write out my name, Cutie. Luckily, the nurse who was overlooking, you know, his shoulder, kind of looked over and said, oh, that's a nice name. Does it mean something in Arabic? And my father just kind of shook his head and pointed to the box that my sister used to carry around everywhere with her. And so the nurse kind of nodded and she said, why don't you go with Susie instead? So luckily, I came out Susie rather than Cutie. Now years passed on, and eventually I became the inheritor of this amazing doll. Of course, by the time I received it from Nancy, it looked like this, but it was still very near and dear to my heart. Now I grew up, of course, again in suburban New Jersey, trying to figure out how to fit in. You know, why was I different? I had a name that was very ordinary, Susie. But still, there was something different about the way I was growing up, different about the way my family interacted with one another, different about the language that we spoke at home. But I grew up reading great literary classics, like the Sweet Valley Twins, of course. And as I devoured these books, I kept thinking, I want to be Jessica. I want to be Elizabeth. I want to have breakfast in a sunny Spanish-tiled kitchen every morning. I want to eat pancakes and waffles instead of fava beans that we were eating every day for breakfast. And I couldn't understand why, rather than looking like Jessica and Elizabeth, this is what my sister and I looked like. And you know, luckily Nancy the hairdresser was still near and dear to our hearts and favored this boy haircut until we were about in seventh or eighth grade and we finally said this has to stop. But again, we grew up in a culture that stressed the idea of what it meant to be beautiful. Our time was the time of Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. It was before we became introduced to Jasmine and some of the other princesses. But I had this dream. And this dream was that one day I would wake up and have blonde hair and blue eyes. And I held very tightly to that dream because I thought it could happen. Of course it didn't. Nancy the hairdresser wouldn't allow it. She said that color would look awful on you. So, you know, we continued our journey and in trying to acclimate, trying to figure things out as we grew up in New Jersey, my sister and I. And it's interesting because, you know, a few years later, about 7 years later, my next sister was born, my third sister. And we see that my parents suddenly began to realize that it was okay to hold on to a part of their culture. And so they named my third sister Naveen, which is a cultural name. And they felt that it was still, you know, able to be pronounced in English, and it worked, it reflected the Egyptian roots a little bit. Now with my youngest sister, who was born when I was 17, my parents went all out. They named her Rahma, which to this day, she gets the Gesundheit and the God bless you as well. And she tells my parents, she's like, you were doing so well, you know, why did you stop at Susie? But again, I think it reflects that ability to understand that identity doesn't need to be sacrificed in order to fit in. That you don't need to lose a part of who you are in order to be a part of something bigger, something better, something that needs you as you are. So, as time would have it, you know, the years went by. I entered into college, and of course, our parents had been very specific with our career choices. We could be a doctor, or a doctor, or a doctor. That was it. So I entered into a 7-year medical program. And that first year in the medical program, I received my schedule. And rather than having a class called Introduction to Biomedical Ethics, I had a class called Introduction to Communication. And I remember I looked at my schedule and I was very upset. You know, what is this? Where is my medical class? And the registrar at the time said, well, that class filled up, but that's okay. Take this class and it'll count for some of your course. So I said okay, and I entered into the classroom in the lecture hall that first day, and the professor had a British accent. And you know everything sounds better with a British accent. She started speaking, and I was fascinated. I thought to myself, people study this? They study what it means when you raise your left eyebrow a quarter of an inch over your right eyebrow. They study what it means when you lean forward rather than leaning back. And I was sold. That day I went home, and I told my parents that I was no longer going to be a doctor and that I was going to be a communication major. That didn't go over well. And to this day, my sisters, my three sisters, who are all in the science fields, you know, biomedical engineering, pharmacy, environmental engineering, my parents will still introduce each one of us and will say, oh, this is the doctor of pharmacy, the doctor of biomedical engineering, the doctor of environmental engineering. And then they come to me and they're like, we're not sure what she does. So they're still trying to figure that out. But time would have it, you know, I graduated college. I met my husband in our freshman year Arabic class. We married soon after, right after graduating college. And we had a plan. You know, I thought I'm gonna get my master's, and then, you know, a year later I'll have my first child, then, you know, I'll get my PhD, and then this and that. And you know, as young people, sometimes we make these plans, but we don't realize that destiny has something else written for us. So early on in our marriage, I found that I was expecting. And as much as it kind of threw a wrench in terms of the path that I was looking towards, we were excited. We were gonna be parents. Soon after, though, I miscarried with my first pregnancy. And it was difficult, but still, we were young and hopeful, and we knew
that when it was meant to be, it was meant to be. So very soon after, I found myself expecting again. And this time, we had cautious optimism. You know, I was put on bed rest briefly because of the difficulty I had in my earlier pregnancy. And during that time, I was like, what am I gonna do with myself? And I complained to my husband, you know, I'm used to doing things. What am I gonna do? I have to take time off of work. And my husband said to me, why don't you write a book? And I'm like, really? And he said, you love books. You're always reading. Just write one. How hard can it be? Sure. Like, I got this, you know? So I thought and I thought, and I thought back to my childhood. And I said I wanted to write the book that I would want my daughter to read. I wanted to write the book where my daughter could see herself in the characters, where she could say, that's me. I don't need blonde hair. I don't need blue eyes. That's me. And of course, the character would have to eat fava beans for breakfast every day. And so I began to write. We knew that we were expecting the little girl. We already had her name picked out, Jannah, which means heaven in Arabic. And we thought, you know, we were ready. We picked out baby clothes. We picked out all sorts of things. And right before the book was about to be completed, Jannah was born early. But Jannah also died on the day that she was born. So I went home that day with my arms empty, but my heart was full of something. It was full of that feeling that I was going to be a mother. And I had that full certainty that my family would begin when the time was right. But the time just wasn't right at that moment. And as writers, I think we've experienced this many times where we think this is it, this is the moment, this is my time. But maybe the time just isn't right then and there. So I went back home, and as I tried to work through the understanding of my loss and work through the understanding of the grief that I was going through, I began to write again. And so I finished the BFF Sisters, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had no idea what publishing meant or how you went about doing it. So I happened to find a book that was lying on my dresser nearby, and I picked it up and I turned it over, and I saw the name of a publisher. And so at that time, I think we weren't Googling yet, I called 411 and got the phone number. And I called this publisher, and the receptionist answered. And she said to me, you know, yes, how can I help you? And I said, oh, I want to speak to the publisher. And she said, who is this? And I said, it's Susie. And so she said, sure, right away, ma'am. And she put me through. Now the publisher gets on the phone, and he says, hey, Suze, did you pick up the dry cleaning? And the kids have soccer, don't forget to drop them off. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, I didn't pick up your dry cleaning. And he's like, who is this? And I'm like, it's Susie. And he starts laughing. And I'm like, what's so funny? And he was like, well, I have a new receptionist. And the receptionist was instructed that no calls get through unless the call is from his wife. And his wife's name was Susan. And only he called her Susie. So when I said it's Susie, the receptionist assumed that I was his wife. So we had a good laugh about it, and then he got all serious and he was like, you know, this is not the way to get published. And I was like, I know, but you know, now we have history and I'll pick up your dry cleaning, you know? And you know, he kind of like, I guess he paused for a minute and he was like, you know what, but just send me what you have and I'll take a look. And so I sent him my manuscript, and lo and behold, the BFF Sisters was about to be born. Not yet, about to be born. So he called me back with the good news, and he gave me the release date for the book. It was to be September 11th, 2001. Now that was a big day for me, because that was also my due date, because I was expecting again. And I was a little panicked. I said, oh no, that's my due date. What are we gonna do? And he said, don't worry, we'll figure it out. You know, even if we release the book, we have the launch parties later, we'll figure it out when the time comes. And so my daughter, who is now 15, my daughter Aya, decided to make an appearance a little bit early. She was born on August 24th of 2001. Now during that time, I had been working in the city at Standard & Poor's. And for those of you who know Wall Street, you know that Standard & Poor's is located directly across from the World Trade Center. Now I was out on maternity leave during that time. And you know, I was sitting at home on the morning of September 11th, and my husband called me and he said, turn on the TV. And I said, okay, why? I thought there was like an old Seinfeld clip or a Friends episode he wanted me to watch. So I turned it on, and you know, with my daughter in my arms, I saw the planes going into the buildings. And I didn't know